2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, please. Just for a little while tonight, we'll bring a little challenge to your hearts in the gospel. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee, in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee." And think of these words especially. Behold. Remember, the word behold is like a stop sign. The Lord wants you to take time to consider what he's saying. And the word behold is found twice in this latter part of the verse. Behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. If I could narrow my text down even more, it is just one word. One word that's also repeated in the closing part of this verse. And it's that little word, now. Now is the accepted time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. Remember, if God repeats something in his word, especially if he repeats it in the same sentence, the same line, he does so for emphasis. He does so to underline that truth and to drive it home to our hearts. Let me say to you this evening, I venture to say at the beginning of this meeting, at the beginning of this message, there's not a person in this meeting this evening that has not heard of the need for your soul to be saved. That is the clear teaching of the scripture. If you ever hope to be in heaven, if you ever hope to be with Christ for all eternity, the Bible leaves us in no doubt that you need to be saved. Peter's words when he preached in Jerusalem, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's nothing more important. It is a must. It's not something that you can take or leave as you decide. It is an essential thing as far as the salvation of your soul is concerned. You know that you need to be saved. But here's the question I want you to ponder with me for a few minutes tonight. And that is the question, when? When should you get saved? You know, generally people's attitude to that matter, to that question, is this. They put it off until some other time. We generally use the word procrastination to describe that. And maybe that sums you up. You've been procrastinating on the matter of God's salvation for many, many years. Whenever people think of that matter, generally their outlook is there's plenty of time. I have plenty of time in the future. Plenty of time when I'm older. There's no rush today. Like Felix, as he heard Paul testify, maybe you're saying the same. Some more convenient time. Some more convenient season. Remember, men and women, as far as your soul and salvation is concerned, there is no more convenient time than now, this day, and this very meeting. Normally what people think, the way they reason, is this. In childhood, as they think of the claims of the gospel, when you're in childhood, you think, I'll get saved when I'm a teenager. And maybe when you're a teenager in the youth fellowship or youth club and you hear the word of God and the gospel preached, what you think is, well, I know I need to be saved, but just not now. There's still things I want to do, still places I want to go first. I'll get saved whenever I get married and settle down. I'll wait till I'm into my 20s. And when I settle down and set up my home, then I'll get saved. But when that period of time comes, you just think the same way. Oh yes, I still intend to be saved, but just not now. I'll wait until middle age. And when you get to middle age, you think, I'll wait until I'm old. And you know what happens when you get to the stage where you think you're old? You just think to yourself, yes, I plan to be saved, but I'll do it when I'm older. No matter how old you are, you always think there's somebody older still. No matter what stage of life you're at, You always think you've plenty of time still to settle the matter of your soul. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, and what I've just outlined is a summary of your life, your life's history, your attitude to the gospel and to the challenge of the gospel. You can remember sitting in children's meetings in Sunday school many years ago, and you knew you needed to be saved, but all your life you've just been putting it off to some other time, to some other day, and to some other meeting. Not far from where I grew up, there was a man that lived. He was 90 years of age when this story took place, and he was still out of Christ. The Reverend John Morrow, when he was ministering the Balnahins Church, was asked to go and visit this man and speak to him about his soul. Mr. Morrow went to the home. The old man knew why he was there, and he didn't want to speak to the minister about the things of God. So what the man did was, at the earliest opportunity, he went out through the back door and away up the yard and into the fields, and as far away from the gospel minister as he could get. Well, the Reverend Morrow wasn't put off, so he went back again into the home, and he had planned out the strategy before he went the second time. And what he did was, when he got into the kitchen where the man was, he took a chair from the table and he sat it in front of the door, and he sat down in the chair. So there was no way out, no way past him. They talked for a little while about the generalities of life, and then the Reverend Morrow put this question to him: did you ever think about getting saved? And here, men and women, is the answer that that old man gave. He said, you know, that's not something you would want to rush into. Imagine that. 90 years of age. We would say one foot in the grave, on the very verge of eternity, and he was still putting off the matter of God's salvation. People always think there's plenty of time, just a wee while longer. But you know, men and women, what is the most foolish attitude of all? And that is those people that say, I'll put it off until my deathbed. Those people that are hoping and trusting and depending upon a deathbed conversion. Multitudes, I'm sure you've met them. I certainly have. People that say, I'm going to be like the dying thief. And what they mean when they say that is, they mean I'm going to turn to the Lord at the 11th hour, on the deathbed. Those final few hours, those final few minutes before I slip from this world into the next, it's then that I'm going to turn to Christ in salvation. If that's what you're depending upon, that's what you're hoping in, I want you to remember, men and women, the words of Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Think of those words, suddenly, destroyed. It's talking about death. Destruction is another word for hell, the broad road that leads to destruction. And it's talking about a person being suddenly, unexpectedly, plunged out into God's eternity. Often spoken to for many years, been often reproved, and then sudden death. And what that teaches you, men and women, and what that warns you of is this: there's no guarantee you'll ever have a deathbed. There's no guarantee you'll have those days or hours or minutes that you're hoping and depending upon to repent in and to turn to God for mercy. You could be taken away in an instance of time. Think of the farmer in Luke chapter 12. He thought he had plenty of time. Do you remember the plans that he was making, redeveloping the farmyard? He had had a bumper harvest. He had just made himself an absolute fortune of money. And this is what he thought: much goods laid up for many years. He thought he had made. He thought he had all the money he'd ever need for life. And he thought he had all the time in the world to spend and enjoy that money. But you remember, men and women, that very night, quickly and unexpectedly, God ushered him out into eternity. Sudden death. No deathbed. No time to seek the Lord then. Do you remember Lot's wife? Lot's wife had been warned of her danger. She'd been reproved of her lifestyle. She had been told what she needed to do to obtain salvation, where she needed to go. She had received evidences of divine mercy. And yet in unbelief, she disobeyed God. And in a moment, men and women, in an instant, in the very act of her sin, the very act of her rebellion, and her unbelief against God, she was suddenly destroyed, taken away from this world in just a moment of time. I want to impress it on your heart tonight. I want you men and women to waken up to the reality. There is no guarantee that you will ever have a deathbed to turn to the Lord upon. You could be in the best of health 1 minute and then ushered into eternity the very next. And even you do have what men and women describe as a deathbed, remember that that still does not mean that you will turn to Christ for salvation. Because I want you to remember this about that story in the scriptures. Remember, men and women, that there were two thieves who were crucified with the Saviour. The people that depend upon a deathbed salvation, they just talk about one. They just focus upon one of those thieves, the penitent thief, as we generally describe him. But there were two thieves that were crucified with the Saviour. Oh yes, one of them got saved. One of them turned to Christ. One of them had a deathbed conversion. But never forget, men and women, that the other one went to hell. The other one died without Christ. And he went to a lost eternity. And remember that he died without Christ. He refused to be saved, despite the fact that he had witnessed himself the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that a staggering thing? Peter talked about being an eyewitness of his glory. That's when he stood upon the Mount of the Transfiguration. Peter was at the cross too, an eyewitness of the sufferings of the Saviour. And that was true of that thief, both of those thieves. But we're thinking of the unrepentant one especially. Remember, he was a witness himself of the sufferings of the Son of God. What a sight that must have been, to have seen the Saviour hang upon the cross, and as he suffered there in our place. And despite that, men and women, he didn't get saved. He didn't turn to Christ. Remember as well that he refused to be saved, despite the fact that he saw his friend. Remember that other thief that did turn to the Lord? They were friends. They were accomplices together in crime. They knew each other. Do you not think that would have spoken to him? Has that not spoken to you when some of your family, some people that you know well, got converted? You saw the change in their life. The Lord uses those things to speak to men and women. And that thief saw the change in his friend as he hung upon the other side of the Saviour. But despite the fact that his friend got saved, that didn't bring him to Christ either. And you know, men and women, maybe what's the most staggering thing of all, in the light of what we're thinking of tonight, is that he refused to be saved despite the fact that he was going out into eternity. And he knew that to be so. He was on his deathbed, just as his friend was on the other cross. He had time as he hung upon that cross, being punished for his crimes. He had time as he hung there, the hours before his death. Here's a man upon his very deathbed. He knew that his life was over. He knew, men and women, that he would never come down off that cross alive. And still, even in those circumstances, he refused to turn to Christ for salvation. You know, there's an old saying that sums up those two thieves. Let me remind you of it. One was saved so that none might despair. Doesn't matter tonight how old you are. It doesn't matter tonight how far down life's road you may be. It doesn't matter how near you are to eternity. You need not despair. There's still time. There's still hope. There's still opportunity for you to be saved. One was saved so that none might despair. But remember, men and women, that one was damned, one was lost, so that none might presume. And you dare not tonight. It doesn't matter who you are. You dare not presume upon a deathbed conversion. We sing that lovely hymn of William Cowper's. It contains the verse within it, "The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." What a testimony that is. Many years ago I heard an alternative to that verse, referring to the other thief, the unrepentant one. And this is what it said: "The dying thief refused to see that fountain in his day, and there may you, though vile as he, throw your last chance away." And maybe that's what you'll do in this meeting tonight, my friend. You will throw away your last chance, your last hope, your last opportunity of salvation. When is the time, men and women? When is the time for you to be saved? Well, it's there in our text. The Lord repeated it twice to drive it home to your heart. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day, immediately. Because remember this, now is the only time that you're sure of. This moment, this minute, this meeting, that's the only time that you're sure of. Many people say, maybe you've done it too, "I have plenty of time to get saved in the future. I just don't need to do it now. There's no rush," especially. That's a fatal mistake that young people make. When they're young and in the full bloom of life, the health, the energy, the strength that they have, death and eternity is the last thing from their mind. You think, "I have plenty of time to get saved." Well, men and women, let me tell you tonight, it's a lie. And it's the devil's lie. It's the devil's lie. The reality is, you do not have plenty of time to be saved. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow." That's not very far away. Just tomorrow. And the Lord says, you don't even boast about tomorrow. "For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." The reality is, you don't even know whether you will live to see tomorrow morning dawn. But that's the reality. That's the cold reality tonight, men and women. You dare not put off getting saved even until tomorrow, because tomorrow for you could be eternity, just hidden from your view. Tomorrow could find you out into God's eternity. This could be the last gospel meeting you'll ever sit in, the last gospel message you'll ever hear, the last word of warning that God will ever give you. The key to mission for you could be the last gospel mission that you will ever have the opportunity to attend. Don't boast, men and women of tomorrow. Remember, there's another warning given in the Bible way back in the book of Genesis. "My spirit shall not always strive with man." It's a great thing when the Spirit of God comes into a meeting. It's a great thing when the Spirit of God moves and speaks and works in a meeting. And if the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart tonight, if you're troubled and concerned about your soul and eternity, you count that a great mercy. But think of the warning that God gives: "My spirit shall not always strive." See, even you do live to see tomorrow, you have no guarantee that the door of salvation will still be open to you. God may be speaking tonight. God may be calling you to himself as you sit in this meeting. But remember that this could be the last day. This could be the last meeting where God ever speaks to you by his Spirit. Remember this, men and women. You can't trifle with your soul. And you can't fool around with God. You can't be saved whenever you want to be saved. It doesn't work like that. You can only be saved when the Spirit of God is speaking. You can only be saved, my friend, when the Spirit of God is at work, striving upon your heart. And if God stops speaking, and if God stops striving, and if God does withdraw His Spirit, and remember that's the warning of the verse, it does and it can happen. If God does withdraw His Spirit from you, it'll not matter that you live to be the age of Methuselah. You will never be saved. You will never have another opportunity to get right with God. You read the story of Mr. Nicholson and the story of his conversion as a young man of about 21 or 22 years of age. It was the 22nd day of May in the year 1899. As he sat at the breakfast table waiting on his mother, preparing his breakfast, smoking a cigarette, he'd lived a life of sin, he'd been out in the world, he'd been in the merchant navy and all round the world, and he'd engaged in everything that his mother had feared. But you know, all those years, the Holy Ghost had still spoken and troubled them about his lifestyle. And as he sat at the breakfast table that morning, the Spirit of God spoke to him one more time. And the Spirit of God said to young William Pattison Nicholson, "It's now or never. Now or never. If you don't get saved now, this morning, at this breakfast table, then you may never be saved." You know, he believed when he testified in later years that he had reached the deadline. That was his last opportunity to ever get right with God. And that day he lifted his heart to the Lord and he cried out to God for mercy. And you know, men and women, there is such a thing as the final invitation. Maybe that's what you'll get in this meeting. Maybe for you it's now or never. This valedictory service on the 7th day of September in the year 2014. For you it's now or never. You're at the deadline, and if you don't come to Christ tonight, then you'll never come. You step over that line, my friend, then who knows? No matter how long you live, there will be no mercy for you. There is a place we know not when. There is a line we know not where that seals the destiny of men for glory and despair. My spirit shall not always strive with man. When is the time, my friend, for you to be saved? Now is the time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I can tell you this, men and women. I can tell you confidently on the authority of God's word that it is the devil that's whispering in your ear tonight and telling you put it off, telling you there's no hurry. It's the devil that's saying to you, oh yes, get saved, but just not tonight. Just not in this meeting. That's the voice of the devil, men and women. And he wants to take you down to hell with him. How do I know that that's the voice of the devil? Well, I know it for this reason. Because the voice of God and the word of God gives an entirely different message. The Bible says you should be saved now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next year. Not when you're older or middle-aged or whatever. The Bible says today, if you will, hear His voice and harden not your heart. Remember the words in Isaiah 55. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Think of what those words are saying. While He may be found. That means that clearly infers there's times God may not be found. God may withdraw Himself from you. Call upon Him while He is near. Is the Lord near to you tonight? Can you feel His presence? Are you experiencing His power? Is His Spirit at work? Well, remember, men and women, that may not always be so. God can withdraw from you and withdraw His Spirit from you. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. I'll finish just with this thought. There is a little poem that I learned many years ago. It's entitled The Clock of Life. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man hath the power to say just when the hands will stop at later early hour. Now is the only time we own. Think of that, men and women. Now is the only time we own to do his blessed will. Do not wait until tomorrow, because the hands may then be still. Life for you may then be over. When should you get saved, my friend? Well, let me tell you this, as I sum it all up, my final statement. The best time, the right time, the only time, God's time, for you to be saved is now. Tonight in this meeting. He says in the book of Hebrews, today, if you will, hear his voice and harden not your heart. I urge you, men and women, in the words of our text, now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation.